You had Vito, then Maggie, then Gibb, then Vito.
Vito Giglone, Northeast Seafood Coalition. Georgia's Bank winter flounder, Georgia's Bank yellowtail TAC is going to be a little less than half of last year's TAC. There is an authority, I think, in Framework 42 for the RA to consider a starting trip limit that's lower than the 10,000 that's in there. Speaking with industry, we definitely would encourage a lowering of the starting trip limit in Georgia's Bank yellowtail, and we're hearing anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 pounds would be a good starting trip limit, which is effectively 50% of a TAC, 50% of a trip limit. We didn't have a lowering of the trip limit this year, so it was pretty effective. But with such a low TAC and the 10% scallop set aside, industry felt that starting out lower was better. So we don't know what part of the agenda, if it would be helpful for the service to have the council. I realize it's not much, but just to have the council make a motion or someone make a motion to say that lowering the trip limit before the start of the fishing year would be something that we would encourage, and then it's entirely up to the service to determine what's best.
Thanks, Vito. Pat, is it premature to ask, have you been looking at this possibility?
Yes, we have.
Is that all you're going to say?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Okay. Next, I had Maggie.
Thank you. Maggie Raymond, Associated Fisheries of Maine. On Tuesday of this week, the council was briefed on the status of Monkfish Framework 4, and you were notified that the National Marine Fisheries Service plans to delay implementation of Framework 4 and to instead they've proposed an interim rule that contains management measures that are different from and what was proposed by both councils. You've also received copies of written comments from Associated Fisheries of Maine and the Monkfish Defense Fund on the interim rule, a letter from the chair of the Mid-Atlantic Council, and one from Paul Howard on behalf of this council. From the perspective of those of us who sit on this side of the room who have participated in all phases of the public process that produced Framework 4, including several meetings of both councils, meetings of the Monkfish Plan Development Team, and the Monkfish Advisory Panel, which I chair, we were shocked that the agency is proposing to use secretarial action to circumvent that public process. In addition to the lower TAC and more restrictive days at sea proposed for the Southern Fishery Management Area, the interim rule proposes to eliminate the directed fishery entirely as one of the options. Also, even though it's not mentioned at all in the proposed rule, the proposed interim rule, this status report notifies the public that the agency is also considering eliminating the carryover days at sea. Regional office staff has also communicated to me that the agency may do that in both management areas, both the northern and southern. So I'm here at this point today to request that the council write a letter to Dr. Hogarth, which includes a very strong objection to the proposed interim rule, that to the agency's use of secretarial action to circumvent the public process, and to support the complete implementation of Framework 4 that was developed by both councils in this process. Thank you.
Thank you, Maggie. Gibb?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gibb Brogan with Oceana. All through this week, starting with the standardized bycatch reporting methodology committee meeting on Monday, through Magnuson, through Groundfish, it's been become real clear that we are going to need in New England a lot more resources to do the job to manage fisheries up here, a lot more resources to collect data, to analyze data, report it, and manage the fisheries. And in the past years, the council has submitted a letter to the New England delegation expressing the need for more resources to get the job done. I know that there are strict limits on lobbying by the council, but a letter from the council right now would be a timely statement to the appropriators that as they go through the next budget cycle to think about the cost of implementing the Magnuson reauthorization. The game has changed, and it's going to take different tools to play it. So I'd just like to request that that letter be written again this year. And in the past, I think it's taken a council motion to get that approved. Thanks very much.
The other veto.
Vito Calamo, Executive Director of the Massachusetts Fishery Recovery Commission. And, Mr. Chairman, before I start on what I want to do, I want to commend you, Mr. Chairman, and the councilors for doing an admirable job on the last motion. I think we who sit in the audience seen the process working. I think you relayed the message to the regional director, and I think in my opinion, that's the way it should be done from time to time. And you resolved it very well. And we thank you for it, and I thank you for that. the first day here, I made some statements, and I've been asked by one of your counselors if I would not weigh in on the open mic to speak again about the situation that we had off of Gloucester, Massachusetts, and off the Commonwealth's waters, that the spring fisheries off of Massachusetts, especially off of Gloucester, was seen by me and others as the best they've seen in 30 years. Again, we had a lot of haddock show up in shore waters for small vessels. The cod were not as big as me. I kind of over-exaggerated like a fisherman does from time. But there was some cod that did go into the 50-pound area, which are whale cod, large cod, and markets. Very few scrod were landed because of the 6.5-inch diamond that I think I brought forward years ago that seems to be working. There was more yellowtail, Mr. Chairman, that's been seen in a long time. The large vessels that I have access to fish for mixed pollock, which was in abundance this year. Again, something we haven't seen in years. And the price, of course, was led by the Gloucester seafood display auction in the Lenten season that brought between $2 to $3 a pound. So if a vessel did land 3,000 pounds, a small vessel of the haddock, the cod, the yellowtail, pollock, redfish, and so on, he could make at least $3,000, $4,000, some made $5,000 in a day, which we haven't seen in years. So that something's happening right, and I'm proud to report that. I also am proud to report that one chairman to the other, the Massachusetts Fisheries Commission that I chair, also stood fast on its closure on the cod spawning area that seems to be showing that in that area there's a lot of small fry and different year classes that pass through there, and especially the large whale cod that are full of spawn. So, again, we protected that area. We've gone above and beyond sometimes, and We all get the feedback like you all do from time to time, but it seems to be working. We also did allow for the American citizen to go out and harvest a couple of fish, not for sale, not by commercial, but a family could go out and catch. We have never stopped that, and I hope we never do. A family go out and catch a couple of fish to take home to eat. So that's something that I think was very good to always do. Again, dogfish, with my eyes too, have stayed around longer than I ever can remember in the winter, and it's been a crazy winter, of course, because everything else is late, but dogfish stayed around and still are around. And the abundance in certain areas and certain depths of water are tremendous still. So I don't know, let's shoot some holes that there ain't enough dogfish, but we're seeing them all year now instead of just in the summertime. Most fishing personnel, again, I'll repeat this, are confused about sectors. And I think you've said enough about that. I like the way that we're going along, and I heard there's going to be some workshops that people could probably educate themselves and help along with the system. I think that's great. I think I've said enough, Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak, and I thank you very much.
Thanks, Vito. Very positive. All right, Rich Canastra, and then you, sir, will come up afterwards.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rich Canastra, Whalen City Auction, New Bedford. I just want to elaborate of what Vito Gigalone came up and said about initially starting the fishing year with yellowtail flounders from 3,000 to 5,000 pounds. I know there was comments made as far as starting at 5 and relooking at, we're really looking at 3 only because, again, May, June, July, yellowtail are in spawn. And we want them to reproduce. We want to keep the fishermen away from the yellowtail that time of the year. The marketplace does not bring good market price on a spawny fish. No one wants to see it, so let's leave it in the ocean. And hopefully we'll be able to increase that tack, or increase the trip limit, I'm sorry, coming in the season when the stock is healthy. It's essential for the marketplace to have a steady supply of these yellowtails, and especially during the Lenten season. I was kind of disappointed this year when we did not reach 60% at the end of the third quarter. We're at 58%, and with the guidelines are supposed to go to 25,000 pounds per trip. It took about 3 weeks before we got back from National Marine Fisheries Service. Gave us a 5,000-pound trip limit in the eastern area. 5,000 trip limit with the flounder net so we can get the haddock. Well, nothing happened in that area. Boats today are down in the bottom part of the closed area. I just received some emails from them. They're not seeing yellowtail as of this time. So, again, this year we'll probably be 15 to 20% below our tack with the U.S. sharing agreement, and it's a shame. It's definitely a shame. And I would just wish that National Marine Fisheries Service, when we send them articles or send them emails of what's going on, I consider myself the heartbeat on the yellowtail, what's happening in the fishery. And please do not ever take it when I ask for increases. It's because of what I see what's happening on the boats. I get information out at sea. I get information when they're landing. And if we're going to meet our attack, attack is there so we can achieve it, not to be 10, 15% below that attack. So it is essential for next year. 3 to 5,000 pound. I'm pushing for 3. I'd like to see 3 where the fish are sick. There's no market price for them. We saw that when that SAP opened up a few years ago. There was no price for it. Let the fishermen stay away from the yellowtails so we can land them later in the year. So this is where I'm coming from. Any of the council members, please talk to me. Send me emails as far as what you're thinking, as far as yellowtails go, Georgia Bank flounders. We're going to be below the Georgia Banks. It's not a set tack, but we're going to be below that. I believe we're at 58% coming into the third quarter, fourth quarter. The boats don't land Georges, so we're below that anyway. And I think it takes another framework or an amendment to change those the trip limits. But it's a shame. It's definitely a shame. But on the other hand, the processors are really happy with what's going on. There was a boat that came to the auction yesterday, 16,000 pounds of fish. He stocked $44,000 stock. When everyone says, well, great for the fishermen, he averaged $2.73 a pound, which included skates. But on the other hand, the processors are losing market share. They're losing market share. So it's good for the boats. The boats enjoy that 273 a pound, but the boats realize that without the market, without the processes, we'll lose them keeping that price. So, again, please open up the year or make the recommendation, open up low. We don't want to land sick fish, and, of course, we want to keep them in the ocean because they're having babies, and so it's going to help the future of the industry. And one other thing I wanted to say is that a lot of things that happen out in the ocean, a lot of things that fishermen have never seen before, catching yellowtails in 70 fathom of water, which is usually around a 30, 40 fathom fish, catching codfish in 100 fathom of water. Things are changing out in the environment. Again, speaking with the boats that are down in that eastern area, below the closed area, they're saying the water temperatures are much colder now than what they were last year, and that's why certain species aren't showing up. So speaking with your local fishermen, at least the fishermen that come in New Bedford, they usually keep their charts of what they did years ago, and in the springtime we fish here for that, and they're throwing these charts away, they're putting them away, they don't make sense anymore. Things have changed. Things are changing. It's not that the fish aren't there. It's just that the environment's changed for the fish. Thank you.
Thanks, Rich. Gentleman in the back row. Please hit the, there's a button there.
Appreciate the chance to come and talk to you fellows. I haven't come to a council meeting since the one at the Biltmore in Providence, Rhode Island, a few years ago when I appeared in front of the ground fish subcommittee when Mr. Frank Blount was the chairman of it. And I made a presentation to you people about the fellas on the vineyard, about the codfish. I just wanted to make some kind of report saying as how at least three codfish were caught close to the vineyard in the last year. A halibut was caught to the west of Gay Head. It wasn't alive, of course, when it come out of the net. We got a long history of cod fishing on the vineyard since before we were even part of the Massachusetts Bay Colony, when we were under the control of the Duke of York, and our duty that we paid to the Duke of York was in codfish. We got a 350 or more year history of export of cod from the vineyard, which continued up until about the time that you fellows, not you personally, but they worked up the underutilized species thing with the dogfish, and dogfish boats come south of the island with the gillnets. I went to work on the dogfish, then when the dogfish move west when the weather get cold, the codfish come in. The dogfish boats did not follow the dogs to the westward, but occupied our hand line and jigging grounds. God bless you. I'm just asking that you fellas do again what you done the last time that I came here and talked to you about keeping a special, not like special ed, but special category for us. Last time you gave us 500 hooks for hand-operated, hand-baited tub trawl. It's been a fishery that is clean. The little ones go back live. It supports the community. It's gone now. I don't know how to say to bring it back. When I heard about these sector things, I thought, how about if I go to the council and ask them to make us a sector around the vineyard, not so much to catch fish, because there aren't any, but that we might have a shot at bringing them back. We're close to the Woods Hole people. UNH has got a program where they're raising codfish. I think you could take the huge amount of fluke that's being caught in them. Them fella was talking about the yellowtails in 70 fathoms. For every 500 or 600 pounds of yellows that they're getting out of the four-hour tow, they dump in between 2,500 and 3,000 of fluke, which we aren't able to land. I know fluke's not a ground fish. It's flat as a flounder. It fell between the cracks because it got Mid-Atlantic Council management for it, et cetera. If you put an observer on that boat to keep the fluke, that would pay for the observer, kick that money into a program that we could partner with them fellas in Woods Hole and start maybe doing something about hatching and releasing codfish in them grounds near us, which is where they used to spawn anyway. And it's good grounds to raise up the little ones. I ain't real encouraged by the direction things are taking. I know a lot of guys on the island are not either. We don't like the idea of the tools of the military-industrial complex watching us from the satellites, and we don't like the seeming unfriendliness of the enforcement agencies. I know that they're trying to get a handle on things, and that you people are all dedicated maybe to try to resurrect the fishery. I worked in all sides of it. I've mostly just been a crew. I got 20-odd years of swordfish harpooning. I spoke against the gill nets for those things coming. We couldn't stop them. I mean, I was a bluefin tuna fisherman. We can hardly find any of them now. I mean, I've seen all kinds of phases of the fishery come and go, and very little of what we had on the vineyard remains of it. There's damn few boats left. And if you guys look back to that meeting in the Biltmore, you'll see I spoke then, and I thought I'd just come and say them a few words today.
Could you just identify yourself? I can't remember your name.
I fished under a few different names. When I first fished out of New Bedford, they told me, the old timer says, don't, if you go to New Bedford, don't give them your real name, because some of them people over there might come haunt you later. And you know he was right. The fellas did come there to the island to try to find me. My real name's Tom Osmers. I live in West Chisbury. I'm from Lambert's Cove, which, as you people all, is general knowledge, was the site of the first naval engagement of the Revolution, where one shot was fired and nobody was hurt. And the British left. So, if you can help with anything on that, or you just look up adults at meeting and see. The Flanders went out cod fishing. They got five in count. Benefits went from Agartown. They went three trips. All they caught was dogs and dogs and dogs. I mean, whether they actually would come back, if you give them a chance, I don't know. But I think that fishing is, the way it's going now, it's going to be top-down food production by large corporations doing ocean ranching and stuff like that. It seems to be that if we don't do, you know, not like turn the whole ship around, but at least some kind of a rear guard action using the resources that are right there, I think the vineyard's well situated and that you get, you know, a good effort out of the fellas there if you converted a couple of this excess capacity that you're always talking about into vessels with pumps and tanks and a couple of good-looking marine biologist women folk. And I think we'd have a shot at it. All right?
Thank you, Tom.
All right.
Glenn, you really want to follow that up?
Who's Glenn? That's not my name. Now we understand why some times it's better to choose different names. My New England Council name is Glenn Delaney. I'm speaking on behalf of the Northeast Seafood Coalition. I'd like to just follow up on a couple of points that were raised at the scoping hearing on Tuesday and elaborate a little bit on two points. One is, as I had mentioned, the Northeast Seafood Coalition has submitted an appropriation request to Congress, to both a number of House and Senate members from the Northeast region, and this is not a request for funding, I want to be clear, for the Northeast Seafood Coalition. This is to ask Congress to designate some funds out of the operations research and facilities account in the NIMS budget to begin to develop the new technological hardware, software, and analytical capabilities that will be necessary to take us to support this next phase of ground fish management that I think a lot of folks in this council are envisioning. And I think we heard a fairly clear indication from the agency that they don't have the capability right now to do that, and that certainly confirms our understanding to have timely management, timely monitoring of landings and catch, and the ability to support timely in-season management measures. And I think, Paul, you even mentioned that the present capabilities couldn't possibly support multiple sector management during the season. So if we're going to make a transition from an effort-based or input control system that tries to predict catch not so well to a system that is actually catch-based and management measures designed for in-season adjustments, we just simply don't have that capability. So for those of you that are trying to think ahead a little bit, we're going to need to have the agency really revamp or convert its existing system to one that's very different than exists today. And hopefully with that will come some new and higher emerging technology. In order to get started on that, FY08 is a good time to get started. It's certainly not too early, and maybe later than we'd even like. Funds that would be allocated in FY08 might not become available until, at the end of this year or early next year. It just depends on how Congress does its appropriations this year. We never know. But this is a time to think about that, and if this is something that you feel is important to do, you can certainly contact myself or Jackie or Vito, and we can plug into what we've done, what the documents are that we submitted, let you know what offices were contacted. The House deadline is sort of past us right now, but the Senate has not. And frankly, for the NOAA NIMS budget, the Senate appropriations process has been more determinative than the House. So it's a good time in the next week or 10 days to let folks who you regularly communicate in your delegation to know that this should be a priority. This isn't money that's going to any private sector entity. It's purely for telling NIMS this is a priority. If future ground fish management as envisioned by this council has got a chance, you're going to need to have that technology available. So that's one point. The other is sort of my dead dog that won't hunt, kick the horse, whatever that saying is. But I do stress to you that according to even a conservative interpretation by NIMS of the new Magnuson Act implementation schedule, you will need to submit by fishing year 2010 or have in place by fishing year 2010 a plan to meet that new ACL, annual catch limit, end-over fishing requirement, which means that you would have up until roughly fall, October, November of 2009 to submit something to the agency for their review and subsequent approval and implementation. Right now, your schedule for Amendment 16 is at least a year sooner than that or faster than that. I think you're planning on submitting something by the fall of 2008. And again, there may be other reasons why you choose to do that, but it should not be the Magnuson Act implementation requirements, because you have more than a year of additional time to develop Amendment 16 measures that are needed to satisfy the Magnuson Act. And again, the reason I stress this is because I just find it very unfortunate that you're going to be asked to essentially develop, fully flesh out a plan and identify preferred alternatives and go to public comment without having the benefit of a benchmark assessment, which is as big as they get. I mean, this is perhaps an entirely new scientific evaluation of the groundfish stocks, and to try to predict what that's going to be and come to some fairly strong resolution as to what you're going to do and then take final action a few weeks later seems to be a very difficult challenge for you to face. And if it's not necessary under the Magnuson Act, then I'm not sure why you would choose to do that. And you should perhaps adjust your schedule to accommodate the best scientific information available. But again, there may be other obstacles to making that change that I'm not that familiar with, and I'm sure Pat has got all those figured out, but it might be something you want to consider. Thank you.
Glenn, as you lobby Congress for data collection funds, please don't be bashful to lobby them for funds for the council to develop programs as well.
We can talk, Paul.
Anyone else? Okay. Anyone on the council wish to react to anything that the public brought forth? Phil?
Just a question, Mr. Chairman. Are we coming back to groundfish? All right, I have some groundfish issues. Yeah, well, I've got a couple other ones, but you want to do them when you come back?
Yeah, I'm planning to jump right into skates right now, unless there's something. Phil?
I got a couple of things I'd like to bring up before we jump into skates. And I kind of got a mission when you made the transition there.
But that's what you call a seamless transition.
I distracted him. Sorry, things work continually.